Let's take our Bibles and look together once again in Exodus chapter
33.
My text for this message is taken from verse 17 down to verse 23. And I want to speak with you about Christ the Rock. The last time we considered Moses' prayer to God, that God might be gracious to him and show him his glory.
As
the mediator that God had raised up Moses to be for the people, he desired that God's presence be with him. And we saw how Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of his people, and how our Lord Jesus sought the Father's blessing in his coming to mediate on behalf of his people.
And
so in verse 17 of Exodus 33, we see how God was pleased to grant Moses' request.
And
we'll read these verses now from verse 17 down to verse 23 together. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
And
here we find Moses repeating his request of anything that he could have asked of God. Verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
And
then verse 19, we find specifically how it was that God purposed to reveal his glory to Moses. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I don't know how this translates in Chichewa, but in English, the word good is a derivative of the word God. So another way to read that, when he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, we could read it, I will make all my godness pass before thee, all that pertains to me as God. But now here's the warning in verse 20. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
Verse 21,
and the Lord said, behold, wherever you see that, that's not just a filler word. It's to get our attention. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock.
And
that's where the title of this message, Christ the Rock. In this, we see Moses as a type of Christ, the mediator, but also, we see that rock upon which he stood as a type of Christ.
And
it shall come to pass, verse 22, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by.
And
then verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. This is a very glorious passage, but at the same time very mysterious because of how God reveals himself. The way so many speak of God today, it is with such lightness. They do so because they've never known God. They treat God as if he were a friend and that they can enter and deal with him as they would any common friend, but that is not God. So as we look at this portion together, may God himself be pleased to teach us of himself. And that we see in him his glorious person, who he is, and also his glorious work, how it is that he can accept any sinner in his presence. Now we may wonder why it is that Moses would desire to draw nearer to God than he already was.
But
I will tell you that any of us that God has been pleased to reveal himself in, this is truly our desire. We're never satisfied just with what we know of God. We desire to know him further. And in verse 17, we find the Lord being favorable to Moses' request. The reason he was favorable was because he had already chosen Moses and knew him by name. And he had already found grace in God's sight. That's what he says to Moses. I will do this thing in verse 17, for thou hast found grace in my sight already. Now in this portion, Moses serves as a double type, one of Christ, but also of any that God has shown favor to in Christ. If we are the Lord Jesus Christ and belong to him by grace, then we know that we have favor with God for Christ's sake, because Christ has the favor of his Father. Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus, who during his days in the flesh often asked and prayed to his Father for his presence, not just for himself, but for his people. Look in John chapter 17 with me, and I wish we had the time to read through this entire chapter, but we'll look at a few verses in John 17. Look how he begins this prayer in the garden before he went to the cross.
You see,
Moses was praying this prayer to the Father as he was about to lead that people through the wilderness as their mediator. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 is seeking the favor of his Father as he is about to go through that suffering and death and resurrection to lead his people into glory. And it says there in John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The key here in verse 1 is that the hour is come. From all eternity, God purposed that this hour should come whereby Christ now would go to the cross and pay the sin debt. Back here in our text in Exodus 33, there was an hour that had come in which Moses now was to go forward with this people and lead them into the promised land. And we might read this and think, well, God's glory was already on the Son. God's glory was already in the Son. And yet, we see his prayer, glorify thy Son, John 17:1, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, it wasn't that the Father had not glorified him to that point. He had. Just like with Moses, from the beginning of his revealing himself to Moses in the burning bush, all the way through the Exodus, the Passover, and bringing the people out of Egypt, God's glory was manifest upon Moses. But the prayer here is that God continue to manifest that glory. In verse 4 of John 17, our Lord prayed, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What he is stating there is to this point in his earthly sojourn, everything that the Father had given him to do, he had accomplished in his life, in his obedience, in glorifying the Father. The same could be said there of Moses, as the writer to the Hebrews said of him, he was faithful in all his house. God had directed him right to this point here that we're reading about in Exodus 33, glorifying the Father.
Now
in verse 4 of John 17, when the Lord said, I've finished the work, we know that he had not yet gone to the cross, but his work required that he bring to God that perfect obedience that was necessary in order for him to be that perfect lamb. That was the work that he had finished to this point. And yet here we find our Lord in verse 5 praying again that the Father would be pleased to show him his glory and manifest that glory with his presence with the Lord Jesus.
And
so he says in verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Christ is God, and even as in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's that glory he speaks of here that he had with him before the world was.
Ndiyetu Kristu ni mulungu. Kifuwa tikamaona kujokela mbuku la Yohani chapter 1, ndimeake weyamba ya kufoto kwa zirabuno zone na kuti bajiambi banali mawa anali kwa mulungu. Ndipo mawa ndiye mulungu, anali bajiambi kwa mulungu. Kusenza kuti kujokela bajiambi ulemelo anali na okare.
But so perfect was that union with the Father that here we find him as a man desiring that God the Father manifest even more so his glory in and through him.
Isn't it
true that somebody that you love and they love you, that you desire to be with them, you desire to grow with them and learn more of them because of that love? This is certainly what our Lord Jesus Christ was expressing as he lived on this earth and desired that the Father be glorified in all things, that that glory should be manifest even more and more.
Ijiso tunchimena mbuye so amagajira nkula mupempero iliri, kunena kuti mule mereru, umene atati ye analina kuchokera pachiambi, atati akarena ebe munga mena nari kukarira mopiti ira.
And so let's come back here to my text in Exodus 33, and prayerfully this helps us understand a little bit more as to why Moses made this request in verse 18. He said, notice, with earnestness, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. If we're the Lord's, we can understand this desire as ones like Moses, having found grace in God's sight and being known by name, in other words, chosen and elect even before the foundation of the world. Yet now, with whatever glory God has revealed himself in us, we desire that he continue to show us his glory. I've often said that if you want to know whether someone truly knows God or not, listen to how they pray.
You
see, prayer is an expression of desire toward God. It's a supplication. That's what he says here, I beseech thee, verse 18.
chifuwaru angamani na zape mpero kuma kala kufondo kwa zina java ntima bago masopa mulungu njifanya kama chua kuti ndipembe zero njifanya kama ndime ya 18 yego ni sazuna la kuti ndiku pempani.
I listen to many that say they are praying and they're asking God to bless their health. They're asking God to give them a good day. They might even pray for different people that they have on their heart and mind. They pray for different organizations, but not seeking God's glory.
Ileo ndakandi kumvera kuma pempero anthu mmene anthu amakhala kupemphera ndi amba pempherera zokhumba za mitima yawo amba pempherera zonena kuti pamwe wawo apeze zinthu zimene iwo amalakalaka kumaso kupempherera zinzawo ngakhale kupempherera maiko wawo komatundisana wamvepo akupemphera kufuna nkhope ya Ambuye.
People are asking for personal blessings. It's all about them. But where are those who truly desire to know God himself? That he, even as Moses, asked that God might be pleased to reveal his glory to them.
Awadu amakhala mapemphero odzifunira madaliso aiwo yeni kuti apeze zokhumba za mitima yawo. Komano, iwowo samakhala nako kupemphera monga mmene anapempherera Mose, chifukwa iwo amene ali ake Ambuye adzakhala nayo njala, yopemphera pemphero monga mmene anapempherera Mose kufuna kupezeka ulemeri wa Mulungu mwa iwo.
Now this is a very interesting request here. In verse 18, show me thy glory.
Ndipo mukaona chinthu chinchokondoresa kwambiri chimene chikoneka mu ndime yake ya 18 yomwe akunena kuti ndioneseni tu ulemeri wanu.
Moses had already seen something of the glory of God even before now.
Komatu Mose uyu anali ataonapo kale ulemeri wa Mulungu nthawi yapitayo.
If you look back in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10, as they took their journey. When the Lord purposed to feed the children of Israel with the manna, the bread from heaven. The people were complaining that they were hungry. They had not seen how God would manifest his glory in feeding them there in the wilderness. And look at how the Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. He said, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us?"
Munga mmene tione atikamayangana mu buku la Exodus chapter 16 ndi meke ya 7 yo, imena kulankula kuti, ndipo mmawa mwache muzaona ulemerero wa Yehova, popeza ali nkumva kudanda muli nkudanda ulira Yehova. Pakuti ife, ndife chiyani kuti muti danda ulira ife.
So God manifests his glory and providing them the manna, the bread of life. You realize that in the Hebrew language, manna or manna is a word that means what is it? When the people came out and saw the bread as dew on the ground, that's what they said. What is it?
Chifuwaru mawa wawanena kuti manawa, monga mwachira nkulojeki hebeli. Ama tantauza kuti nchiani, awawa anabwera, mutai mene ana aizarali, anaona chakujia ichichichita, one kira mamawa, mchire mwakunena kuti anada wanazi kuti simene chinchiani.
And even in this, we can see a picture of God's work in the Lord Jesus Christ, manifesting his glory in bringing Christ to this earth as the bread of life.
Ndiponso mmene mutikoza kuonanso chithunzi-thunzi chambuye wathu Yesu Khristu ndi ntchito yake, mmene Mulungu Atate anaonesera ulemerero wake popereka Yesu Khristu monga mkate wa moyo.
And when our eyes are first opened to behold the glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cry out the same thing. Who is this? What is this? What is this glory that God should be merciful to sinners such as we are. But not only the manna was a manifestation of his glory, but if you look in Exodus 16 and verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness," and here's that word again, "behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." That cloud that went before them there in the wilderness was a manifestation of God's glory and His presence wherever they went. That word glory literally means a weight, something that weighs heavily. And I believe that any of us that have seen the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can attest to that, the weight of what it is to know God and to be an object of His grace. Now let's come back here to my text in Exodus 33 and continue on in verses 19 and 20 to see how it is that God then tells Moses that He will reveal His glory in him and to him. Now this is important not to miss, because Moses asked to see the glory of God in verse 18, and here God answers by saying that He will make all His goodness to pass before him. So simply put, we can say that God's glory lies in His goodness. That's how it was manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, that Christ represents the goodness of God in coming to save the people that God had given Him. I can boldly say that if any do know God in truth, they know Him because of His goodness. It pleased God to reveal Himself to them. Moses, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, was a manifestation of God's goodness, that God established him and favored him to be that mediator. So here, even for ourselves, let's stop and give pause and consider How is it that God can be merciful to me, the sinner? It is only by His goodness.
Now
we know that God is just. We know that He's holy. We know that His wrath is against sin and sinners. And certainly in that we see His glory. But here's the point, that in everything that God does, whether it is in exercising His justice and holiness, or whether it's grace and mercy, He is good. All of God's attributes, whether it's holiness or justice or grace or mercy, everything is through His goodness. Those that don't know God, they like to question Him, how it is He can be good and at the same time condemn sinners. But even His justice and His power and His wrath have to be understood in and through His goodness. He's good even in condemning sinners because He is God. Remember, the word good means God. He's good in being that just God and ridding them from His presence. They don't deserve anything but condemnation. That would be our case. And yet, we see in a greater way just how good He is in showing mercy to sinners and giving them a mediator, even as He did with Moses, even more so Christ, to be their Savior. Oh, how good He is. And notice in verse 19, in connection with His goodness, He says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. That's the connection between God's goodness and His name.
In
the Hebrew culture and other ancient cultures, the name represents the person's character and his nature. It's not merely a title, but here God is promising to reveal to Moses His character. And certainly, when God's pleased to reveal Himself in any sinner, it's not just a name, God, but it has to do with who He is and how He manifests His glory.
There
are a lot of people that profess to know God And yet, you can see here in verse 19 how it is that God revealed his name to Moses. It's in his sovereignty and his power. Notice he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. This shows where many who profess to know God don't, because their fight with God, their rebellion is over him choosing who he will show mercy to and who he will be gracious to. Any that have an argument with God over his sovereignty and his purpose to save whom he will, they don't know God. But now, in verse 20, we see that God tells Moses, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We see just how holy he is. Now God here is using human language to describe his person, because when he speaks of his face, we know God is a spirit. But to see his face, it's as if one were talking with him face to face. None can have fellowship. None can enter into fellowship with him apart from a mediator. In verse 11 of this chapter, Exodus 33, we read that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. What that means is that there was that fellowship with him already as God's mediator. But then again, down in verse 23, you can see the Lord using human language, and that's for us. He says, and I will take mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. For Moses, as the mediator, it would be necessary that God grant him his favor to enter into fellowship with him. Now, in contrast, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke with his Father face to face. There was no need to hide him because they were one. But here again, we can talk about a lot of attributes of God, his goodness and his mercy and his grace, but his essential attribute is his holiness.
Yesu tikamaona apapa zama kadwaga ya mulungu timona kuti mulungu yo ndi wabwino mulungu ndi wokoma ntima mulungu ndi wachifundo komabeso tupali kuonekera kwa kupatulika kwa chekwa mulungu kuti mulungu ndi woyera.
And so that's why in these remaining verses 21 to 23 we see how God would put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and thereby God could be merciful and gracious to him in his holiness. This is a very vivid and endearing image, how that God would both protect Moses with his hand and yet at the same time hide him away in the rock of refuge.
Ichitu ndi chithunzithunzi chachikulu kwambiri cha Mulungu chimene Mulungu amachionesera muchifundo chake kunena kuti Mulungu achita kumsunga Mose mthanthwe ndi dzanja lache makamaka amene thanthwe limenenso ndi chithunzithunzi.
Here's a beautiful picture again of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose hand those that God has purposed to save are hidden and kept. But also the rock, the refuge, both of these depict how God is pleased to be merciful to sinners through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. That's where this song finds its origin, right here in the scriptures. This is the only way that any of us can have fellowship with God and enter into his presence. It's by his protecting hand in Christ and being hidden in Christ, that refuge. Notice in verse 21 when the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. That place by God is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we go back to John chapter 1 and verse 1, what John declared concerning Christ. He said, In the beginning was the Word, that's Christ, and notice, the Word was with God. In other words, by God, but also the Word was God. That's a mystery. But the same remains true today, that no man can see God apart from Christ and live. There are a lot of people today that seek the presence of God and want him to manifest his glory through miracles or through an experience or through speaking in tongues and other things, but that's not it. There's none of that here. It's the presence of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that we're covered so that we can enjoy God's presence? It's in Christ. How is it that God has passed by and come into this world? It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is it that God has been pleased to reveal himself when he says here, thou shalt see my back parts? There's no way that any sinner could ever understand God in all of his glory. It's as if we just see his back parts, and yet in Christ we know him. In other words, if someone comes and passes, and you look and you see their back parts as they go away, we consider Christ, how he came, lived, died, and rose again, ascended into glory. We're seeing, as it were, the back parts, but oh, we look forward to the day when we shall see him as he is. But this is the God of Scripture, both revealing but also concealing. That's his prerogative, to do what he will. Blessing, but at the same time hiding, that we might all the more seek him in Christ. I believe this is what John wrote in John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and what? We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is truly of God's grace alone to know him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop there for now, and I pray the Lord will make his word plain to our hearts. Christ the Word. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how plain it is. If there's ever any problem, it's with us, because our eyes are clouded by our own sin and depravity. But our prayer would be indeed this, that whatever glory you have been pleased to reveal in us and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we desire to know more, desire to see more of that glory, and just how it is you've been merciful and gracious according to your will to such as we are through your Son. And so I find this to be a message of comfort for any that you have named in your eternal will and have been gracious to through the Lord Jesus Christ, and have put such as we are in him, our rock. Oh, what a mercy and a grace that is. So I pray that you would bless each one that has heard this to your honor and glory, and truly bring glory to your name through your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Amen.